Father, we give you praise because no scheme of man, no power of hell can ever pluck us from your hands. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for keeping us in your hands. Thank you for wiping off the guilt in our lives. Thank you for the fear of death is broken. Thank you because you are coming one day to take us home. Thank you because we are safe and secure in your hands. Like we said yesterday, thank you, Lord Jesus, for there is no witchcraft available, no sorcery, no magic, no divination. There is no occultic power that can work against the Israel of God. And we are the Israel of God. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you are going to be blessed today, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you know you are going to increase today, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you know that Jesus has packaged something for you, give me an amen.
Amen.
Can you therefore bless somebody on your left and your right? Tell the person, welcome to God's presence again. Welcome to a time of refreshing. Welcome, welcome. The Lord is good. You are welcome again. I trust that you are going to be blessed this morning. Like I said yesterday, we have a very long day this morning. All right. But before we start, can you open your magazine to page 3? For those who know what we want to do, you can do it by heart. We want to activate the grace apparatus for perception. That's a term I borrowed from somebody. As the power of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. That's the grace apparatus for perception. Are we ready? So we're going to read that together. Just follow my pace, okay, so that we can read it in unity. All of us will read it together. Are you ready? It's a declaration. Like I say all the time, this one thing we should remember all the time, we believers in Christ Jesus, and that's the fact that we belong to... You know, some people are in Ogboni. Have you ever heard of Ogboni? Some people are in Ogboni. Some people are in Eye, confraternity. Yeah, sometimes it impresses people. It doesn't impress me. Do you know why? I'm also in one. Oh, I'm also in a cult. I didn't tell you before I'm in a cult. And in the cult I'm in, I'm a very powerful member. I have power, you know, I have authority. All right. I normally bless people, but sometimes if you do the wrong thing, you may get injured too. The people that are protecting me, they are very powerful. All right, I'm in a cult. If you're in a cult, say amen.
Amen.
Ah, all of you are in the same cult? We're in the highest of the cults. The cult of Christ Jesus is the highest. You know, you can't be higher than the Most High. No matter what you eat, if you like eat your grandmother, you can never be higher or as high as where we are. People eat, they say they kill people. They use somebody's blood for medicine. How can you kill a sinner? What kind of medicine will he make for you with his blood? Do you follow my point? But if in Christ Jesus you have been, you know, you killed the Christ, the Son of God, took his precious blood, anything you drink, that once you drink that blood, you have collected the most powerful power. Anybody who drinks something has drank polluted blood. If you're a blood drinker, give me an amen.
Yeah.
You see? And the blood you are drinking is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are in a cult. We are. And I want you to also understand that every cult has its own incantations. And our Bible is the book of the incantations of the Lord. And you open it, and incantation be that. So next time you see somebody who say he's a juju man, say, well, boy, come and learn. Because it's inferior to what you have. So let's do some of our incantating this morning. I invented that English word. All right? I want to do the one we use to activate what God has given us in Christ Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We are saying God has done this for us. We are just activating what he has done. So let's declare these words together. 1, 2, let's go.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. His word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
If you believe that, turn to your neighbor, bless the fellow, say that is your portion in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody beside you also. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let's get into our teaching. All right. Today, we are going to continue what we began yesterday, what decides destiny. Yesterday, I took time to explain the things that don't decide destiny. And I think that's just as important as explaining what does. Because the problem a lot of times is that people are boxing in the wrong direction. They are shooting a target that they can't even identify. And many times, there are enemies that they are, that they are supposedly fighting are with them. They are firing at things that are not their enemies. You find people praying and say, all my enemies will die. Meanwhile, what they have in mind is their boss. What they have in mind is their mother-in-law. I know a man that the mother-in-law died. And when she died, I said to the boy, your mother-in-law has died though. He said, good, our witch is gone. That was, people normally mourn when people die. His own is that witch is gone. And I've seen Christians who are agitated in prayer. Say, when they came, I began to pray. I was releasing the word. I said, hey, you are releasing the word against flesh and blood. When the Bible makes it clear that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not against human beings that we can see. And many times you find Christians praying and praying and praying. Okay, and the prayers have no effect because there is nothing actually there that they are praying against. You understand what I'm saying? You are praying that witches who are disturbing you will stop. They don't have your time. You're not worth anything to them. You are too ignorant anyway. They don't notice you in the realm of the spirit. Jokes apart, some people... Satan doesn't have time. There are two kinds of people Satan doesn't have time for. There are some people that he has tried, he has left them alone, Job. But there are those he has collected. They are his own. They are not worth anything. They are not worth sending two demons after him. He's going to go to hell. He's our own. We own him. A friend of mine had a clinic in a village. And one day he had a patient. And the patient was complaining to his nurse that I think people want to kill me. That's why I'm falling sick. The nurse, it was a young woman with caustic mouth. Someone put their mouth there. Only Jesus can wash it. He said, the nurse looked at him and said, do you have a house? The guy said, no. He said, do you have land? No. Do you have a wife? No. Do you have money? No. Anybody spending money trying to kill you, what will it benefit? He said, my friend, killing people, it's expensive. And you have to be worth people's time. So he said, listen, go back, get well, and go and mind your business. Nobody's after you. Nobody is after you. Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. This blaming somebody else is actually pride. Even if you can find the person physically, focusing on somebody is pride. The Bible calls it pride. That's what Elihu said to Job about it. That this thing is pride. God does not answer the prayers of people who are praying out of pride. God does not listen to people who, when they are praying, what they are praying about is the person that is not letting them make progress. Sometimes Christians gather to pray. In a country like ours, a lot of times you hear Christians pray, and when they are praying, their prayer is just around things like, when they gather, they have this mental division, north and south. Muslim and Christian. And when they want to pray, it's as if God defend us against the Muslim. And God says, I'm not going to do anything like that. It's like Southerners will pray, God defend us against the North. God says, I'm not doing anything like that. You understand? No, I'm telling you that the way he responds. All right, election is coming. You're actually Christians praying I'm mentioning that President Buhari will not win. You know, I want Jonathan to come back those days. And God is wondering, when did I tell you I wanted Jonathan back? So they will be praying, and God is not listening. He's not listening because the prayers are on wrong premises. The prayers are focusing on something as the cause of the problem that it is not. What I'm trying to say is that the thing they are focusing on is not the cause of the problem. Do you follow my point? For example, we're in Eastern Nigeria. A lot of people in the East believe that, and if you are following Nnamdi Kanu, you believe that the rest of Nigeria is the problem of the Igbo man. Are you getting my point? So sometimes you now see Christians gather and they want to solve the problem. And God says, you don't know what the problem is. You are focusing on something else. That meanwhile, if you get to the north, they think their problem is the south. You get to the south, they think the problem is the north. So people are busy pointing fingers at other people. There are men who believe that their problem is their wives. And there are women who believe that their problem is the husband. My problem is my office. And God, Eli said to Job, if you ever pray like that, God will not listen to you. Now let me say it again. If you ever pray like that, God will not listen to you. If you have this mind that my problem is not me, it's somebody else. If you have this mind that God, you know, what I need is for God to solve that man out of my life, then I will be fine. Then God will never listen to you. If you're a Southern Christian and your prayer is always against a Northern Muslim, you've been wasting your time, I hope you know. You have been wasting your time. It's been a waste of time, a colossal waste of time. You know, one of my classmates sent a message out the other day. They were talking about something the president said, and they said Nigeria is divided and all of that, that the man has divided the country. So another one said he didn't divide the country. Now, I'm going somewhere. One of the things that he said, which I had to agree with him, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, he said that the church, that Southerners, especially the Christians, are responsible for most of the division in the country. I had to agree with him. I had to agree with him. Because we're the ones that kept on calling APC a Muslim party. They never called PDP a Christian party. They never did. We're the ones that campaigned with Islamization. They never campaigned with Christianization. When in actual fact, we are the ones that send missionaries everywhere. Am I lying? Some people are being shocked with some of these statements. We're the ones that send missionaries everywhere. They didn't complain about Christianization. We're the ones that went to the media and showed pictures of Christians being killed. They never showed you pictures of Muslims being killed. And Muslims were being killed. In fact, if you talk to somebody like the Emir of Kano, he will show that he submitted a dossier containing pictures of 800 Fulani headsmen, women, and children slaughtered in Taraba State. Now, I'm not here taking the sides. I'm just trying to say that we are the ones that put out the narrative. And like one of my brothers sent out, he said that's how people with victim mentality, that's how they behave. He said people who are on the losing side of any battle, that's how they behave. He was sent out to Christians that please stop all of this nonsense. You are behaving like you are going to lose the war. So we gathered in prayer many times. We held crusades. One of my one brother in ministry, he called me one day. No, in fact, I'm mixing two things up now. He called me that somebody wanted to do something, whether I should join. I said no. But when he came to campaigning against the current head of state from coming in, holding crusades all over Anambra here, he didn't call me. He called me when some people said they wanted to start arresting fake preachers. So there are some people in DSS, police, military, Christians who were passionate about the gospel, and they felt that they should do something about fake preachers. So he called and said, "Sir, they have asked me to join them. What do you think?" I said, "Tell them not to bother. That they are going to get injured faster like that. It's not an assignment that God has given anybody to use political force, force of government to stop fake preaching. The only way you can stop fake preaching is by true preaching. You that's preaching the truth, go and preach. Get on air. Let God sort everybody out. Those who are following fake preachers like it. What are you looking for? Free food, miracle? So they will deceive you with fake miracles. It is good. They give you, of course, give you a bag of rice and an envelope because you're a refugee. You'll be happy. Say, man of God is feeding the poor. You, Mr. Poor, keep going. Mrs. Poor, face that direction. So those, you see, you can't fight fake preaching with police. Yes, sir. What I have just said is, in my own territory, anywhere my voice goes to, I declare it on air. If you're a fake preacher, continue. The power in the words of Christ that I speak If that word is true, we kill you one day. I said, you can do your fake ministry, I don't care. Just don't mention the name of my Lord Jesus. There's one guy in Lagos, Samson Dinsaka. I like him. Do you know why I like Samson Dinsaka? His name was Shamsuddin. He changed it to Samson Din. He says he's practicing Chrislam Herb. And I will see this guy preaching with favor. You will like him. You know why I like the guy? He's not pretending. He said, I mix Christianity with Islam, with traditional African worship. We mix everything together. And he does programs, so. I think he has land on the express, too. People follow him. And I like people like that. Why do I like them? There's no confusion. If you are looking for how to mix your Christianity with Islam and traditional worship, you follow him. But the ones who want to mention the name of Christ Jesus and, you know, purely pray in the name of Jesus and they are fake, don't worry. We have sent the word of God after you. But I'm not going to report it to police. If I can't kill you with the power of the truth as I preach, then that truth is not powerful enough. So I should refine it some more. After all, people who follow me are not at risk. It's those who don't want the word of God in their lives that are at risk. If you listen, just by the way, I know where I went to this, so I'll try and get back to my message. This is a fact. All right? This is a fact of the word of God. If you are following people because they instruct you in righteousness, you can never miss it. It's when you are following for miracles and free food that you go astray. That's why Jesus never liked those who followed him for miracles. I hope you know that. He never did. They came to him and said, Master, we've been looking for you. He said, Where are you looking for me? Is it not because you ate free food? And I said, I'm looking for you as if you are zealous for something that is serious. Came to me. Pastor, we didn't know you came to Accra now. We're following you. Following me from where? We came all the way from Kaduna. Jesus just looked at him and said, hey, you're following me? Why are you following me? Because here at the end of service, I give money to people. He was disgusted with them. He said, don't labor for the food that perishes. Why was Peter, James, John, and co. safe when he preached a word that's so difficult for people to understand? You know what he said to him? To whom shall we go? You have what? The words of eternal life. Follow people for the word of eternal life. How do you know which preacher to follow? Just settle down. Let his word set your heart on fire. If his word cannot kindle something in your heart, whether it's true or false, don't bother yourself. Go somewhere else. That way you'll be free from false people. Because no matter how much you want to try, you cannot force the Holy Spirit to come upon your words. You can put a fake crippled man in a chair or can use familiar spirits to cast out demons. Jesus said people were doing it. People were using Beelzebub to cast out demons. It was happening. But to put the fire of the Holy Spirit in words, it's impossible unless you are genuine. So you want to follow somebody? Forget the miracles. Forget the free food. Forget these days anything can happen. People can use camera to make a well man sick and heal him. Not be television, they watch him. I see some of the miracles people say they are following, I'll be laughing. One day that day, I stumbled into the program. Say, man of God, help me. I've been in this preacher for a long time. I said, sick people don't talk like this. This is an acting. This is acting. You're in wheelchair. Say, man of God, help me. I've been in this wheelchair for a long time. I've been suffering. The one said, yes, my daughter has been suffering. Sick people don't talk like that. Then the brother said, yes, man of God, my business is suffering because my sister has been sick, so I've been spending time with her. Man of God, help us. I started laughing. I said, this is acting. And the man did once razzmatazz my abracadabra, whatever it is. And the girl got up and started walking. Then they started removing the things on her body. I said, Kai, even Jolade Ekeh, they can do better than this. That those who are really acting, they will impress us, you. And the people say, it's miracle, miracle. I say, oh, foolish Galatian, you must really be foolish. Now, please don't follow anybody for the miracles they claim to perform, whether it's genuine or not. Follow them for the words they speak. That when the words hit you, your heart wakes up. That way, you are safe. But anyway, back to what I know where I went to do that. So, I told my brother, please don't bother yourself. But somebody reported later and said, your brother is now organizing crusades to campaign that Buhari should not come into power. Hey, look, I'm not saying, I didn't, well, okay, we are talking. I didn't vote for him too. I've always tell people, I've never voted for any president that won an election. Okay, Jonathan won. I remember that one. We all voted for him that first time. Okay. Most of the people I voted for in my life, they end up, once they see my vote, they just say, who the bank votes for? This one. He has lost. I vote the way I like. I preach the way the word of God says. And when I'm voting, I have my reasons for what I'm doing. But I said to people then, it is wrong what you are doing. You cannot use the pulpit to campaign for any politician. You can't. I see pastors following politicians about. How do you sell your anointing for bread? It upsets me. Our politicians are my friends. Some of them I pray with because I believe they are credible people. I pray with them. I pray for them, hoping that they will win. But once we mount the pulpit, that relationship ends. You won't hear anything from my mouth about them. In fact, the last election, people thought I was going to vote in that direction. When they found how I voted, they were surprised about Sir, but from what you are saying, I said, you didn't listen to me well. I said things like, vote according to your understanding. If corruption is important to you, and you feel this man will fight corruption, vote for him. Don't ever vote. This is how foolish people vote, is from my area. That's how you know God, people that God has is not listening to in that matter. They don't care as long as it's from their village. They don't care as long as it's my townsman. That's how foolish people behave. Vote on principle. I said, by my own set, for certain principles that time, I voted this other way. Okay, in case you want to know, it had to do with, I have people in the north, do you understand? And I talked to them. So, because of the love I have for them, they felt some things, you understand? So, that was what swayed my own vote. And I felt that was important. And one of them said clearly, he said, look, my brother, corruption is not our problem. And he's a northerner. He's born, bred, that's his place. And he said, please, we have other issues. Only explain the issues they had. That was what pushed me. But God said no. God ruled otherwise. The Lord ruled otherwise. And I have to just go with what the Lord has said. I said, well, my vote, thank you, Lord. I've done, you saw my heart. But some said, no. Corruption is the issue. They voted one way. Some said this. At the end of the day, God was not appointed whoever he appointed. But that time I said, no, leave this matter. There are things you don't do from the pulpit. There's an American preacher, very prominent. I read his book till today. I still read his book in the last few days, maybe the last 2 weeks. I carry it around. This man's book, I read it all the time. Yet, I subscribed to his mailing list, okay, at the time. I subscribed to his mailing list. Yet, when he started campaigning on that mailing list, I wrote him a mail, said, sir, I thank you, God, for your life. You have blessed me tremendously. I've read your books for a long time. I said, but if this is what this mailing list is about, an American. I said, I'm sorry, I have to go. So I unsubscribed. Of course, he didn't reply me. I didn't expect him to. Now, Israel, uncle, you were there the day I told you guys I unsubscribed. Yes. I just had to leave. Why? Because it was now a matter of Republican versus Democrats. I didn't subscribe to you to be hearing your opinion on who's a Republican, who's a Democrat, and it will be there analyzing the Republican candidates. You know, some Christians, you have to be very careful. Your audience, some of them are Democrats. You cannot expect everybody listening to you to be a Republican. You can't. Because an American preacher, they are divided mainly into Democrats and Republicans. Nigeria, we have no division. APC and PDP, they are one party. So, look, it depends on where you sit. That's what decides whether you are in APC or in PDP. If you sit here, you are in PDP. If you sit here, you are in APC. Then when we come for the next meeting, if you have changed your seat, we now know. Please, have I lied to you? We're not angry. Are we angry? We're just saying what is going on. That is why today you are in PDP. You can pay. They don't give you form. You go to APC, collect the form. That's what we have in Nigeria. So I people beside I am in PDP. I tell my classmates, let's stop shouting APC or PDP. Let's just say President Buhari's administration, Jonathan's administration, because it's all the same people that did both of them. The only one that is different is the head of state and the vice president. Every other person, nobody the same. Our minister for transport, where was he before? PDP. Now he's minister in APC. So when you want to pray, please don't stop praying anti-APC or anti-PDP. But that way you will pray anti-yourself prayer, or you won't know which one you are praying. Just pray, God help us. Eh? Because just help us. Lead us right. But you know, Americans are very divided. Democrats and Republicans, they have ideological differences. Most conservative Christians are Republicans, and they lean towards the Republican Party. Most liberals, those who don't believe in God, who believe in man, those who believe a man can marry a man, almost all of them, I didn't say all, almost all, are Democrats. So that's why a preacher would think that once you are listening to me, you must be a Republican. Because you can't believe in abortion. You can't believe in man marrying men, men marrying men. You can't believe in women marrying women. You can't believe in all this nonsense. But see, unfortunately, it's not true. Many of us may not know it was the Democrats that fought for freedom for slaves. I hope you are aware of that. Republicans wanted slaves to stay there forever. At least modern times. You know, I don't know about the original one, but all that, they were, I mean, it was being funded by, it was the Democrats that said, no, no more. All people are created equal. So everybody has, so some people lean towards some sides for certain reasons. Some have historical attachment because of that. Maybe they are blacks. And that's why blacks generally, even though they are Christians, they tend to be Democrats. Like my friend who lives in America now, of course Nigerian, but not American citizen. He said that many times they are voting for Obama, they pinch their nose. Now that's a figurative way of speaking. That they hold their noses and vote for Obama. You know what it means? That Obama smells. They don't want him. But there are other things that are important to them, like racial equality. You understand? Freedom and stuff like that. So they know Obama believes in rubbish. So they'll pinch their nose and vote for Obama because the smell is too much. It's like medicine you want to swallow. It has a bad taste. You won't taste it. I don't know how about you. You throw it to the back of your tongue. Before it hits your tongue, it's in your stomach. Now drink juice to wash everything away. Now, the point I'm just making is that, look, as Christians, we have to be careful. Okay? And God can use anybody. When he delivered Israel, he did not use a Jew. Yeah. He didn't use a Jew. He used Cyrus. Defeated the enemies of Israel. And that one gave them right to go. And you may say that Cyrus believed in God. He did not. God said, I've called you by name even though you did not know me. And if you know history very well, Cyrus released anybody that worshipped anything. It wasn't out of obedience to God that Christ Jesus is coming through these people. God has called them specially. Let them go to their country and prepare for the coming of the Lord. No! They said, you have a temple in Jerusalem. They said, yes. Okay, go now. When you get there, pray for me and for my sons. Once you can guarantee him, you pray for him and for his sons, he lets you go. And that was what God used to liberate Israel from captivity. God can use anybody. Bear that in mind. Anyway, so like I was saying, so Christians, sometimes we gather, we start praying those prayers. We pray prayers that are wrong. Like I was telling you about my classmate. I had to agree with him. I said, no, the Christians were the ones that did most of the dividing of the country, not the Muslims. They were the ones that kept on pointing out the difference between Muslims and Christians. They were the ones that held rallies and pastors come from all over the world and talk about the Islamization agenda. Of course, you know, God was not on their side. I can tell you categorically. God was just looking at them. Well, you know how you know? After all the campaign, everything, why they watched the current president won the election? Because God has other things. And God is not afraid of Islamization. No. I hope you know he's not. Let me tell you how, when Jesus is tired of anything, you know how he does? He carries a plate and carries it to sink, opens water, pours liquid soap, and washes them away. And that's the end of Islamization. And he'll blow his hand like that. Any other thing? Listen, you're talking about Islamization. Let me tell you something. Communization. Did you hear that in English? You know, we have to invent words to... That I didn't hear is, but communism. They were on an aggressive agenda, which is actually more powerful than Islam has now. Because Islam is overt, and when they are not overt, they just try to convert people, some people with money. Okay? You see them fight. Communism, in fact, some people believe that changes we had in government in Nigeria then, over that military rule, okay, was actually a fight between CIA and communism. As soon as communism ended, the war in Angola ended. So the war in Angola was a communist war. So you see countries in South America fighting. But it was communism. Yet God was looking. They controlled a huge chunk. Listen, the whole of China, you know, China has border with Russia. China, Russia, massive like this. All of them under one single evil spirit. Principality. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Jesus was not bothered. Jesus said, in due time, I will close them. He closed them overnight. Today there was communism. Tomorrow there was no communism. So even China, you know, the communism of China is not communism anymore. They have some of the world's richest people. Under communism, you can't be world's richest anything. Jack Ma is a billionaire. Alibaba, the man of Alibaba. I mean, they have billionaires all over Russia, China. Communism meaning like this. Bam! You know why? Jesus said, it's enough. You know the way you kill a fly? Poof! No mosquito. That's what we like to. In Nigeria, we don't buy flights. You just wave it away. When we see mosquito, personal. Say, close that door. You know, if you are chasing fly, if he wants to fly out, you let it go. But mosquito, like, where are you going? So you can go and bite my neighbor. No! Close the door. And whoosh! That's the end of the mosquito. That's how Jesus kills things that he's angry with. So when he's tired of Islamization, you will blink like this. You will sleep one night, you wake up next morning, they are inviting Christian tourists to Mecca. You'll be like, what? You now see that one, the next Hajj, they invited a pastor because of world peace. And they say, you'll be looking like, no. No. Let Jesus do his thing. That's what I'm trying to say. You focus on the assignment he has given you. He's not afraid. You shouldn't be afraid. So many times Christians gather to pray. They are praying about things that Jesus said they shouldn't worry about. Sometimes they are praying about their future. God, in the name of Jesus, you are in this job. As my son is finishing school, he will get a job in Shell. From there, they will transfer him to Chevron. Then they move into MTN. MTN to NMPC. NMPC to Google. And God is looking, say, by the time your son finishes school, none of these companies will exist. He said, where is Nokia? That's what God is asking you. All the companies that were big, where are they now? He'll be mentioning names for you. Say, these companies are gone. I remember when we were young, Arthur Andersen was where to work. I don't know whether you remember. But many of you don't even remember what was Arthur Andersen. Arthur Andersen was one of the world's biggest accounting firms. They had Arthur Andersen and they had Andersen Consulting. By the time their time was over, they died almost overnight because about four or five companies worldwide that they were auditing, they showed that they had not been doing their work. Enron went down. Parmalat went down. You know, WorldCom went down. Companies were going down one after the other. All of them audited by Arthur Andersen. Arthur Andersen died that year. They so died, they don't exist anymore. The Andersen Consulting had to change his name to Accenture because the name was now odious. You know, the Bible says something is odious. They smell. So some of the companies you are looking for that you're sending your son to school to go and let's say he can work there. Because by the time he's finishing NYC, they won't be there again. And we say, go and send your son to learn football because they're football. By the time your son graduates from football academy, people will be playing computer game. Many times we are praying prayers that God said, don't worry about. I have another plan. Many people are praying against their enemies. They are praying wrongly. They have a wrong focus. They have a wrong focus. And Elihu said to Job, God does not listen to such a cry. He said, they cry because of the arm of the mighty. No one says, where is God, my maker? That is, our focus should be on God, our maker, not on the people that we think are oppressing us. But we established yesterday, Christians cannot be oppressed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There is no enchantment that can work against a believer. Remember we said we are talking about believers though. We are not talking about everybody. We are not saying there is no witchcraft. We read it several times in that Numbers 23 where Balaam said it. He focused it against Israel. He had used it against all kinds of people. You know that. That's why he had his reputation. But when he came to Israel, he said, boys, this one is not working. People, this one is not working. And we read it that Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 at the end, he said, peace be upon the Israel of God. And we are the Israel of God. We have a better covenant. We are covered by better promises. We have a better blood, not the blood of bulls and goats. So if we are in Christ Jesus, don't worry about it. Tell your neighbor, if you are in Christ,
don't worry about it.
You are covered by the blood of Jesus. All right, the Lord is good. Now, so that's what we've been looking at since yesterday. Just felt like going over that again. And I want to continue from that point. And, you know, what we did was just to show the things that are not the problem, which is what a lot of people pray about. The country is not the problem. Your enemies are not the problem. Ancestral curses is not the problem. Are you getting my point? They are not the problem. Somebody who doesn't like you is not the problem. Nobody can keep you where God has not kept you. If God says you will go forward, now listen, if God says you will go forward, nobody can say no. That thing is not a joke. You know what God does? He will be warning the person. If God says you are moving forward, and one man says, they say you are not passing here, God will call the man and say, let him go. I know how he does, he will send a Moses. Let my people be promoted. The man will say no. He will go home and fall sick more. He will still say no. His son will fall sick. He will still say no. And God will look about which one is more valuable. This is little boy or he himself. So the man is more valuable. Now what I want to say, Christians don't like it. Many people say don't believe it. But I believe it. They say it's the devil. No, not the devil. They say devil is the devil that kills people. Have you heard that thing before? Yeah, the devil kills. I'm not saying it doesn't kill people. But it's not the only one that does it. When people are wickedly killed, it's the devil. When people are righteously killed, it is Jesus Christ. I had an argument with somebody the other day. He said, show me one scripture where I pointed to Revelations. That said, that woman, Jezebel, I will cast her on the bed of affliction. Jesus was speaking, I will strike her children dead. Jesus kills people, though. The father, they strangle people, go strangle like this. Remove your head. Give one danger. Bury the head on this side. Bury the body there. The father does that. Right now, he doesn't do it anymore. He has left it to Jesus. Jesus has a sword. He beheads people. He behaves people for sometimes what looks like trivial things. You say, let my son be promoted. You say no. He'll tell an angel to go to your house and warn your house. He'll set your house on fire. You know why? He doesn't want to kill you. He'll set it on fire. And somebody will say, that, oh God, did you offend somebody? No, I didn't offend that boy. That boy is nobody. That's my girl. He wants to graduate with the second class upper. She doesn't want to sleep with me. Just watch it. God will say, hey, all of you see me, oh. You know, that's what God they do. It's called the demonstration of his righteousness. Yes. Listen to me. He can kill a whole human being to add 2 marks to your grade. Say, let this girl graduate with her 2-1 in peace. You say no. You say you have a pleasure that has to be satisfied on my daughter. God will just tell the angels, oh yeah, boys, do your work. There are different kinds of spirits that kill people. The most difficult ones, the most dangerous ones are the angels. We'll keep on thinking that it's only the devil that kills. But read your Bible well. The angel of death is not a messenger of Satan. Yes, sir. He went to Israel, to Egypt, killed all the firstborn. Was it the devil?
No, sir.
That same angel went to the camp of Assyria in one night, took 185,000 people. Was that the devil? No. Sometimes that same angel enters into Israel on the commandment of God. Because David disobeyed him. And he begins to slaughter. And in 1.5 days, he takes 70,000 people. Until David turns to God. Not rebuking the devil. Turns to God in repentance. Say, please, I'm begging you. God now says, okay, go and offer a sacrifice. And David lifts up his head and he sees the angel physically with his sword drawn. Ready to shed more blood. Don't be afraid of people, though. I'm telling you, of a cult. Be afraid of God. He's the one you should be afraid of. People say, no, have a reverential fear. Reverential fear is good. But literal fear is also good. Use the two. People tell me that, you know, when you wonder, you know, God, if I read that recently, the fear of God is a fear of glory. Whether you call it fear of glory or fear whatever, just obey him so that he doesn't get angry. Say, you don't obey God out of fear, you obey him out of love. Whether you out of love, out of fear, just obey. When we get to heaven, we'll decide whether it was out of fear or out of love. But you know my own theory, do it for both. Obey him out of love, obey him out of fear. My children do both of them. You know my children, they do both of them. And they graduate from one to the other. The younger they are, the more the obedience is out of fear. The older they are, the more it starts moving as they are growing older. They learn fear first before they learn this love thing. Initially when they said, go to your bed by 7, the reason why they will go is that they know that if daddy catches me here by 7:10, the contour of my bum might change. Then when they are older, they begin to understand that the will of daddy must be done. Then fear is converted to love. But let nobody lie to me that you just go for love. Children don't understand love. As children of God, we use both of them. Let's not fight over is the fear of God, reverence, or fear like we are fairy snake. When God wanted to talk about fear, are you getting my point? He did not use reverence. Let me summarize it. He said, don't fear him who can do what? Kill the flesh. It wasn't about reverence. He said, fear him. So you see, the reference was with danger. It was in reference to danger. He said, fear him that after killing the flesh, he can take the soul and send to hell. And he said, fear him. That means that fear was not reverence. So they say, do you have reverence for the man that has a gun? I have reverence for you. Don't shoot me. He didn't. When he says, lie down, you don't say, you know, out of reverence for his gun, just lie down. Is that before he goes off and my wife becomes a widow, let us lie down. And God said, you see that kind of fear? He said, have more fear. If lying down will send you to hell, tell the man, oh boy, shoot me. Because your gun will kill the flesh. The soul will come out liberated. You will get a new body one day. I will consume my wife that time. But me, I ain't lying down here. God, I don't want to go to hell. The Lord is good. Awesome. Now, what am I going to explain to us? So God, he kills people. And he will kill people to defend you. It wouldn't be Satan. Sometimes he allows Satan to do when the person has committed before. Sometimes he allows Satan to do that. But there are times he takes it personal. Then my child wants to be promoted. I'm sorry, you can't stand there. You are too small to be an obstruction. And you'll be shocked that this is just a small promotion. Yet God removes a whole human being. A man with wife and children. A woman that has a husband and, you know, and has children. God will end her life because she stands as an obstacle between you and promotion. Let me tell you something, child of God. You see, if you understand your God, you will be kinder. Many of the prayers we pray are prayers of fear. If you know what God can do to people, you won't pray, God, kill that man. Because you know he will. You'll be kinder. And once it was on this road many years ago. This is Enugu Onitsha Express. I remember that it was an interesting experience. We had some problems on the road. Actually, there were some armed robbers on the road. So we found out. But so I went off the road. But my car got stuck in a ditch. So after some time, we had to move. Beg some men to help. They refused to help. I thought human beings would have mercy. Once they showed that they pay now. I felt like I said, may that shoulder start. But I didn't say anything. So after some time, they came and said I should pay money. It was after our car here, on the way to Enugu. So I should pay money. I was with my chief, my boss who trained me, a woman. She said, let's pay them. I said, okay, no problem. How much? They told us the amount. We gave them the money. They pushed the car out in less than 15 seconds. I mean, they are men. So whatever she paid them, we paid them. She gave the one little boy that was on his own assistant earlier, gave that boy a loan much more than that, and they were envious. But that's not the point. I was about to drive off. This was beside the road. One man asked, how much will I pay? That is the front of his shop. I looked at him like this. I didn't say a word. I engaged the gear of the car. My guy was with me. He said, no, let's pay. I said, chief, please. I drove off. So you didn't say anything to him? I said, yes, ma'am, because if I did, he would die. And I wasn't joking when I said that. The anger that was in my soul, I said, ma'am, if I opened my mouth, that man would die. So that's why I didn't say anything. I just drove off while looking at him. That you are evil. If I open my mouth, you won't live beyond 24 hours. Why do you think Jesus told the people, you don't know the kind of spirit you have? They were so angry. How can you treat our Lord like this? No, just think about it. You are coming here for seminar, then somebody pushes me down. Get out of the way. He says it's a hotel security. And he said, who's that? He said, that's Pastor Banky. No, you came to come and listen to him. And they pushed him out of the way. Said, you know, if you had the power, you shoot that guy. And that's just me, small me. You know, I'm small like this. Imagine Jesus walking. He wants to enter a town. They now said, get away from here. Eh? Peter said, yeah. John said, did I just see what I saw? Thomas said, no, I'm not sure. I doubt this one. Peter said, no, I saw it. I saw it. Lord, please, let's burn them. Because I understood how they felt. But Jesus said, you don't know the kind of spirit you have. If you go around like this, you will kill everybody. If you understand the kind of God you serve, you won't pray some rubbish prayers. You face your neighbor's house, die by fire. You know he won't die by fire. That's why God has not answered you all these years. He knows you know he won't die by fire. Because if you really knew, You will pray differently. And I'm introducing that to you again today. The God you serve is dangerous. Stop looking at him as one. People, they interpret him as, you know, this Jesus is so kind, you know. He just hugs and kisses people. The hugging and kissing Jesus, you know when it ended? Cross of Calvary. Once he rose up from the dead, even John saw him and ran. He wanted to run, his legs wouldn't move. He collapsed there. John, his beloved. The one you and I call John the beloved. That used to put his head, you know, on the bosom of Jesus when they were lying reclined to it. Now in the pose, they feel like, you know, I'm the most important in this ministry. And really, what Jesus wouldn't tell other people? Peter would say, is your friend, ask him. He said, who took the money? He said, it's Judas. I said, Lord, I can't tell Peter. Judas is dead. The same John saw Jesus later. He said, I fell. And that's what he said. I fell at his feet as one dead. The Jesus we are serving is not a joking Jesus. He's not afraid of Islam. If we get our acts right, we Christians, you'll be amazed at the amount of power he has to solve certain problems. The reason why he doesn't exert those powers is that he's so... Let me tell you what the Bible says about him. It said that the mountains, when he's coming, they melt as if they are made of wax. He knows. And he doesn't want every man to perish. His power is so great, he has to pull it back. Otherwise, he will kill everybody. And the time is coming when he will do it. Go and read Revelations. One day I was reading Revelations... You start from that chapter 4, when he began to describe the woe on the earth. The one that shocked me was after six angels had sounded, a bird was now flying around saying woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the one that has not yet sounded. Meanwhile, if you see what the other ones had done with their sounding, and he was saying, ah, you people are in trouble. I said, ah, the one we have experienced in God is not trouble. Next time you see your enemies, so-called enemies, better pray for them. That's why Paul said, bless, do not curse. Because when you do, the power in it is plenty. And the first prayer point the Lord Jesus gave us is pray for your enemies. Please stop all this one. You go and pray all night. Say you want your auntie to die. It's because you think that your progress is being held down by her. But if you know it can't be, why would you want her to die? One day, a man was driving past. Somebody on the road, somebody did like this to him. You know the way we do? Waka. So Jesus said, Daddy, he's doing waka to you. He said, what? He said, so? Look at it now. He said, did you count his fingers? He's just showing us that there are five. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If I'm the one that they say they saw somebody cooking my destiny in a pot, you know I'm not lying to you. God is my witness. I will laugh. Say, Pastor, yesterday as we were praying, we had a revelation. And what was the revelation? We saw one woman, another woman, and a man wearing white had this kind of red cloth on his head. And we looked into the pot and we saw your destiny. I will cast a demon out of you on the spot.